What can you tell us about Manoah? I know he's a power pitcher. He's got an effective slider, but is he good enough to be, like, will we see him this year? Is he going to be, is there any chance of him, you know, filling out to be that first round pick that's going to have some great career? Like, what are you expecting to see out of Manoah?
Well, it's a great question. I think he is not going to break camp with the team. I think that the Jays, the way they've filled out their rotation, especially the starts are going to go to the newer names like Ray and Matz, and they're going to see what Pearson, for example, has. I think that from that perspective, you may even say Tom Hatch is probably ahead of Manoah as well. But I think that your question, Mike, speaks to the somewhat randomness of this season. Without having minor leagues last year, it really, I think, creates a tremendous amount of excitement, uncertainty, intrigue in how these pitchers look. This is one of those years where, as much as we always try to downplay the results of a March 2nd game against the Phillies, I think the reality is that, especially for some of these young players like Manoah, who we haven't seen before, who haven't seen in the last year in a real game circumstance, there is going to be a lot of attention and focus on how they look, because I do think that this is a year where you could be surprised in spring training. Manoah, certainly to your point, he's been a first-round talent before. He was one of the highest-regarded college arms the year they came out in the draft, but I think that I'd be a little surprised if he broke camp with the team, but I do think if he comes in and has a very good Grapefruit League season, we could see him potentially making an impact there in the first half of the year.
I understand, John, that the Blue Jays are looking to maintain some of what is left of their financial flexibility for this season, i.e. leave some budget space open for the possibility of acquiring somebody or somebodies leading up to the trade deadline in July. I my hesitation, though, is they've got the quantity on the pitching side. I'm worried about the quality of that starting rotation. And maybe in the first 3 months of the season, you can just outslug teams and you come away winning more games than you lose. And then you make your push. You push the chips into the middle of the table and go and acquire somebody. But that rotation remains a hesitation point for me.
I agree. For me, too. And I think that one of the issues that I see there is not just the lack of maybe all-star certain type pitchers after Ryu, but it's a matter of innings. And I think this is a year where building up innings in the way that, for example, a club like the Padres have done, where they not only have brought in Darvish and Snell and Musgrove, but they also have a tremendous amount of AAA pitching ready to go and be stretched out. And maybe that is, to circle back to Mike's question, a role that Manoah can have, because innings and understanding that the pitchers in general across the major leagues have very little of a foundation of innings to build from 2020 to 2021, that I think it's going to really advantage those teams that have depth and that can send guys to and from the minor leagues and keep fresh arms up there and allow the relievers to settle in. Because if your starters are only averaging three or four innings, five innings early on in the season, I think it's going to put a lot of stress on the pen. That's why I think from the Jays' perspective, what kind of role does Stripling have? What kind of role does Hatch have? Those kinds of names that act as bridges, I think, are crucial, because the history of a Matt, the history of a Robbie Ray, especially Ray, is that with the high walk totals, he's someone who doesn't necessarily get very deep into games. And I do think that's my one reservation. I know that some people have the Jays as a playoff team this year. I'm not quite sure I can go there yet, just because with Pearson as well, I just don't know where their length is going to come from besides Ryu. And I think that's going to be a key question they have to answer. How do they creatively manage that? Do they piggyback starters early on in the season? I'm just a little bit worried about the lack of innings quality and quantity both from their starting rotation here as we enter 2021.
You mentioned Hatch there, and I find that's the interesting name for me in this group. So Pete Walker said he's the sleeper of the group, right? 2.73 ERA last year as a rookie, but do you see him as like this, you see him as a starter, or do you see him more multi-inning relief role to start the season?
Well, I think that's going to be a really key point because he, you know, he's someone who you saw his walk total was a little higher than you would expect from a premium starter, even maybe a mid-rotation starter. But to your point, he was a starter throughout the minor leagues, of course, beginning his career with the Chicago Cubs. I think he could be eventually a starter, maybe even in the first half of the season. To me, a lot of the questions revolve around how does Pearson look coming back, and then with the question marks of Ray and Matz, and then, of course, Roark as well. There's no question that Hatch, when you think about how this rotation fills out, he just made his debut last year. He is someone who, even though he pitched the full season at the Major League level in 2020, He's still a relatively young pitcher. He's got 5 years of control left, so he could be a huge part of the future of this team in a way that, for example, someone who's nearing the end of his free agent contract, like a Roark, maybe is not. So I think he will, if I'm the Jays, I would give him every opportunity to work his way into being a starting pitcher. I think you look at his age, he's basically the same age as someone like an Anthony Kay, a very similar age, but I think Hatch has really moved ahead of Kay in terms of the overall depth chart and has shown, I think, that he can certainly get key outs as a major league pitcher. And I think now the question, one of the big questions this spring, Mike and Scotty, is going to be, is he a starter or is he more of a bridge guy? And I think he deserves the chance to be looked at as a starting pitcher.
John Palmarossi of MLB Network is our guest. This is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. So Marcus Semien is going to take some reps at both second base and shortstop this spring. He is not going to get any kind of look at third. Lourdes Gurriel Jr., who has found a home in left field, and that bat plays, man. And I think
it does.
When you look at early 2019 and just the difficulty he was having on the infield, going down to Buffalo, coming back and settling in, and I think he's a plus defender in left field, but he's going to get some reps at third base. The Blue Jays are all about flexibility here, John, and I think that we just assume the flexibility means that gives Charlie Montoyo an opportunity to get certain guys off their feet, maybe DH guys on a particular day, and it allows him to move people around. Kevin Biggio can play three or four positions. I think if you take it a step further, if there are more guys who can do more things, it opens up trade avenues that perhaps we're not even thinking about right now.
Well, I think you're right, and that's a great point, Scott, about how the somewhat overlapping nature of this everyday lineup is a huge advantage for the Jays. When you look at it, they may have 11 quasi-everyday players. When you think about the Telez-Vladdy combo over at first, Grichuk obviously is one of the highest-paid players on the team, and there's a very real chance that he won't start on opening day because you'll probably have an outfield there that includes Teoscar and Lourdes and, of course, George Springer. So that's all a very possible outcome there. And so how does Grichuk get his at-bats? Is he a DH? Do you have an outfielder that if Grichuk is going to play the outfield, then can you swing Gurriel down to the infield? I think I'll be really interested to your point. Of course, Lourdes had the throwing issues. Is it a different arm slot from third base? In many cases, it can be. And so the issues that he had at shortstop don't necessarily follow him to third if he has kind of a different throwing angle and approach. I think, as you were describing his career trajectory, Scott, the name that popped into my mind was Alex Gordon, who, of course, was an infielder, a very much hyped prospect with the Royals, never quite clicked. Then he went down to the minor leagues, learned the outfield, and won multiple gold gloves in what was objectively a great career. So I think we can certainly see something, if not exactly the same, something similar unfold for Gurriel. And I think this is a year where, to your point, flexibility is very important. And I am a believer that, depending on, of course, where all the home games are played, what the numbers look like, Telez could put up some huge numbers offensively. And I do think there is some redundancy in defensive profile between him and Vladdy. And does that bat create some value that they could potentially move at the deadline, perhaps? But I do think, for me, to circle back to something we've talked about already, I think the rotation is still a major question for me. And the general idea of trading a surplus bat for an arm you need is, I think, going to be a ongoing theme of our conversations in the mornings here during the course of the
season. I'm going to beat this drum, even if it drives you nuts. Sorry, not sorry. If you were to say to me, John, and 2 years ago I would have called you crazy, but if you were to say to me that 2 years from now there's a possibility Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is not here, I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not saying it's likely. What I'm saying is it's got to be on the table in the right deal.
I agree with that. And I think, too, Scott, that this is a year where, okay, last year was a shortened season. I'm going to go with it with the standard line that it's a little difficult to judge anyone forever based on how last year looked. There were just so many different factors there. However, I think that we have seen enough of a sample size from Vladdy that while he's still a young player, this is around the time, around the year where his numbers and his track record start to be more of the player that he is at some point. That's just a reality of life in professional sports. And so I think this is a year in which we have heard about him getting in better shape. The defensive conversation is there. Is he going to be able to play third based on the results of the Dominican Winter League? The answer is probably no. And so how does he look? How does everything play out? I think that if you look at the way that this position player group sets up, Bo Bichette is a bigger part of the future than Guerrero, and Biggio, with his versatility, you could argue maybe as well. And that would have been a staggering statement to make 2 years ago.